separation. There will be a day, we don't know when, but a final separation. And the Bible speaks much about that. The Bible starts back in Genesis, where we're going to be to this morning. In the book of Genesis quite a bit. That's why the liberals hate the book of Genesis. They don't believe that it is inspired of God. But in Genesis, the foundation is set for every principle, for every precept that we see in the New Testament. And if they could dismantle that, which they can't, within the minds of people, they try to. But I love the foundation. Jesus said, I have to have a strong foundation, not sinking sand. Build anything that's worth anything is built upon a firm foundation. That would be Christ Jesus, the solid rock. In Matthew chapter 25, we'll read these few verses, begin reading in verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, there will be that day of final separation. And God is justified and will be justified to do that. He's justified in everything he's ever done. But he begins back in Genesis chapter 1 by telling about, and I want to title the message this morning, The Great Divide. It's a wonderful, wonderful word study this morning. When you look at the word in the Hebrew that is first translated divide, but several times, 147 times that same word is used in the Old Testament alone, sometimes it means to set apart. It means to set apart unto, and sometimes it means to set apart from certain things. It means division. And God is the one that is a great divider. The first five times he mentions this word divide in Genesis, five being the number of grace. It's an amazing thing how God's got everything figured out. All the gold nuggets there are in there. So we're going to look this morning in the book of Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look and explore about that great divide. God is in the dividing business. Here we read in Matthew that the final separation, division, dividing, will be between those people that would not acknowledge Christ in their life, would not come to him, but for those that would come to him, he sets us apart. He delivers us from the world of sin and iniquity. Not that we're taken from the world, but we're in the world, and greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. So he sets us apart from some things. He sets us apart to some things. And all the time he is dividing things out of our life, telling us that we're not like the world. He sets us apart from the world. We're divided. So let's look, and he says sometimes this word means just to make a difference. You know, when God saved every one of us, our citizenship was in heaven. If we died that very moment, we would go to be with him. And we're going to reign with him forever and ever. But he left you, and he left me in this world for a time. And that's up to him to decide. He already has decided how long we'll be in this world. To set apart, to make a difference in the world. In your children, your spouse, everyone you meet, God says you ought to be, make a difference. And then sometimes he says you got to be excluded from a lot of things. Sometimes this Hebrew word that we're looking at means to be excluded from. We're not like the world. We're to be excluded from the practices of the world. the thoughts of the world, the things of the world. Why? Because God is a great divider. Let's look at that this morning. The great division. The great division that God said. Genesis chapter 1 verse 4. Don't read very far until you see this word come up. And God saw the light that it was good. Of course, everything God made was good. Every day after creation, God evaluated it. Of course, he evaluated ahead of time. But he let us know that it was good. And would you stop and explore that thought just for a minute? Sometimes people think and even say the most horrible things. Now, think what you will, but when it comes out of your mouth, that's kind of scary. And I've heard people say, where was God when that happened to me? On his throne. He's a great divider. And God has always done good. Can't do anything else but good. God is presently doing good, and I have the assurance, and I 100% know that in the future he will do that which is good. And the first 5 times he uses this now, remember, the number 5 in God's economy is the number of goodness and grace. He is doing the great divide. So let's look, first of all, God's goodness or God's grace in creation. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God divided the light from the darkness. He still divides that, the worlds in darkness, because of their belief and the fact that Cain killed Abel, and all the way through, we have those people that lack the darkness. But God's a separator. And in the very first time he uses the word divide, he says there is a division, and it will be the life that God has created, the light from the darkness. That was the physical light, but it explains and lets us know that since Satan has been cast out of heaven, land on planet earth, and he's going about to devour, to tear down, to destroy, and millions of people love darkness. Why? Jesus told us why. Because their deeds are evil. But God is a great divider. Hurriedly, the second time he mentions it is in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Genesis. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let them divide the waters from the waters. We've seen God divide the light from the darkness, and now he's dividing the waters from the waters. And all along you see that God come to divide us from the darkness of the world when Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world, and he was the light. And in him was no darkness. So the whole story is going that since he is light, he created us, and if we'll believe what he has already done, then we'll be in the light and we'll hate darkness with every ounce of being that we possibly can. Thirdly, verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Separate the light from darkness, separate the waters from the waters, let the firmament come up, and separate the waters, and now there's a heaven where God dwells, the second heaven where the birds fly, and the first heaven that we see where the birds fly, and the second heaven where the stars, the planets are, we see them glow at night, and though they're far away, God is the separator. We realize that beyond the starry sky, second heaven, there is a place where God dwells, a place of light. No night there. We go out, this morning we lost our power at the house, a fitting time, I guess. We lost our power, and Sandra's on that breathing machine, so she couldn't hardly breathe, and she woke me up, and now I'm awake too, and it's dark. And so I go outside, and it's a power on, circuit breakers. This is like 4:35 in the morning. And I go outside and I see light all around. Neighbors got light. We're in darkness. How I thank God I'm not in darkness as the world goes. But finally we got power restored back. Thank the Lord. And God is in this world. Yes, there's darkness. You see it everywhere. But thank God when you cast your eyes on Jesus, realizing that we're not of the night, we are of the day. Fourthly, in this context, in the 14th verse, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God is still in the dividing business, the separating business, for our glory, for His glory, for the grace of God that would be bestowed to man. And so God has given us a great location to live, the City of Four Seasons, we call it. And we thank God that every good and perfect gift comes from Him, because God shows His greatness even in the division of the creation and how He separated all these things. But the fifth part, and then we'll be moving, is in the 18th verse, chapter 1, Genesis, to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So we look in the heavens and we see in daytime the sun shining. And then in the nighttime, the sun is on the other side of the earth. But God put the moon up there. It has no light within itself, but it casts its light from a distant sun who is just far away. And there is a light in heaven. His name is Jesus. And we're in this sin-cursed world. And Jesus told us, let this light, which is in you, shine brightly to the world. And then we stop and realize there's no light within us except Christ Jesus. And we're made out of inanimate objects. We're made out of clay. And there's nothing within us that would cause us to shine, just like the moon, except the grace of God in creation shines His love upon us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in creation, we see God's grace. But then we go to the next context as we keep going in Exodus chapter 26 and verse 33. We see that because of man's sin and transgression, God's glory is being withdrawn from man. And God convicts people of their sins. But His grace will not always strive, and His forgiveness is being offered freely to the world. But when people say no, 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 I don't know how long God will do, but I do know in this verse we're told that God's glory is withdrawn from man. It happened in the garden, remember? God said, lest man should eat a tree and be like us. He put something there to guard man from it, from the garden. And then, of course, the flood came and everything changed. But look at Exodus chapter 26, verse 33. And we see the children of Israel now. And thou shalt hang over the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide to you between the holy place and the most holy. God says to the nation Israel, I'm going to come and dwell in the most inner holies of holies, but I withdraw myself from you. There is a veil. Why? Because of sin. Sin separates. God's the light of the world. People that live in darkness or because of their sins, neglect, refusal to come to the light. And God showed the children of Israel, I'll come down and I'll dwell in that most holy place. And no sin can go in there, and I'll put a veil to shield my glory from everyone else. But thank God there was a priest. And the priest could go in there, and he could take the blood, which represents and shows us that there is a high priest, Christ Jesus, that came into this world of darkness, the light of the world. He came, full man and full God. And then He died for our sins. He shed His blood on an old, cruel Roman cross. And He said, if I die, and He did, then I'll raise myself from the dead. He took that precious blood to the throne of God, and there it remains. And any sinner that comes to Him in faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, died for your sins, and is willing to turn from your sins and let Him forgive you of your sins, and you repent of those sins, then the light of the world cleanses all those sins. And you're no longer separated from Him. The veil, remember, was rent, and now we can get to the most holy. What a wonderful thing that the Bible teaches us, come into the holiest of holies. Come and present yourself, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Wasn't always like that, but thank God through the blood. There's no way to get to God except through the blood. It can't be your blood, anyone else. It's got to be the blood of Jesus. the life of the world. So we see God's grace in creation, God's goodness in creation. We see God's grace and God's goodness has been shielded, withdrawn. But now we see things are going to pick up. God has a people. They realize that there's only one way to get to God, through the blood. Let's keep reading. Then in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 17, God created us to give Him praise and honor. We're going to look how God orchestrated by using this word and showing us ahead of time that we're to give praise and honor to God. He has divided you and I from the world. He has separated us from the world. And now if we live Christ like Christ Jesus expects us to, free from sin because of the blood, we can worship Him. Let's see what it says in Leviticus 1:17. And He shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. There's a word we're always looking for. And the priest shall burn upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire, is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Yes, after God separates us from sin because we believe in Him, God says, come and give me honor and glory and praise. And back in the Old Testament economy, remember, they brought lambs, they brought turtle doves, and they would go and they would offer that upon the altar. God would smell the sweet incense, and God would be willing to forgive them their sins. But we don't do that anymore. God's got it far better for you and I than it did then. You know what God expects you to do? Same thing. You can do it. You don't have to go out and buy a sheep, have somebody inspect it. If it's got a blemish, you can't offer it. We come and we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now you come and you're in your flesh and you're in your sins. But remember what we've already read, that God, through His grace and through our belief in Christ Jesus as a lawgiver, as a light of the world, and knowing that we can't come, there's a separation between us and God. But through the blood, through the shedding of the blood, and for the forgiveness from our sins because of the blood, we can come and we can offer ourselves. There's no one out there looking at us, thank God, and saying, well, you can't come, you're unclean. And you can't come in your own righteousness. No, He said it's filthy. Just filthy as old rags. Well, if I can't come and offer sacrifice, and I can't come in my own righteousness, how do I come? In His righteousness. In Him alone I come. Why? Because we're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know we sin daily, and people, I know people, and people say, I haven't sinned since the day I got saved. Well, they just sinned again. They just told another big one. James told us, as I often say, that if we know to do good, do it not to Him in His sin. None of us here could even dare say we've done everything we know to do. We sin. But yet we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace, and come worship Him, adore Him, and come offer ourselves to Him. And you can do that through the blood. The high priest made it possible. We can come this morning to give Him honor and glory and praise. Let's look at the fourth category as we keep moving through the scriptures. Oh, that's a wonderful study. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Next verse, verse 11. And that you may teach the children all the statutes. See, God wants us to, and this time the word is translated different, but the same Hebrew word make a difference. And that's why God left you and me in this world. Because He has cleansed us. Because His grace has been sufficient. Because He has allowed us to come to Him and give Him praise and honor and glory. Then He says there's other people out there that aren't like that. And if you live your life pleasing before God, you can let your light so shine. It won't be your light at all. is His light, the great light in you, and then He can shine that light on you, and even though you're in the flesh, you're just full of sin, but when you come confessing that sin, thankful that He is holy and just to forgive you your sin, then that is your offering, which is pleasing unto God. That's what He expects, all He expects, and if you do that, it's pleasing to God, and you're giving Him honor, glory, and praise. And as you do that, others are seeing. You go back into the world and say, well, they're not like they used to be. They're not thinking the same. They're not doing the same. They're not listening to the same music. They're not going to the same places. They're making a difference. That's what He said would happen. God's grace in you, the hope of glory, making a difference. And then He tells us in the 11th verse, that you may teach your children. See, He leaves us here for a lot of reasons. To let your neighbors, your friends, your acquaintances see Christ has made a difference in you. And now you're coming to Him boldly. And you don't worry about things that happen like the rest of the world does. You don't have to have all these uncertainties. You don't have to live and bite your fingers. And what's going to happen to me? I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. As you keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll keep showering you with blessings. I didn't say you'd be rich. I didn't say you would be wealthy. I didn't say you'd even be healthy. But I will say this, by the grace of God and the goodness of God, you'll be recognized by God. His love will overshadow you. He'll bless you and He'll give you joy and strength in the midst of the battle. Only He can give you joy and happiness that will endure any situation, any hardship, anything that happens in your life. Christ Jesus can give within your heart glory, honor, and praise unto Him, even in the midst of it, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you can teach your children that. You can sit down with them and teach them from the Word of God, and that's good. That's profitable and expected. But you can teach them all the day long by letting them watch you. Let them see your attitude as others mistreat you, and they will, and it'll get worse. Let others, your children, see you, whether you read, study, show yourself approved, faithful to the house of God, and teach your children. Oh, that's part of the plan, God's purpose in your life. Number 5. We keep reading. Going ahead, look at Leviticus 11:47. He tells us again to make a difference. That's their Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word is divide and separate, set apart, to make a difference. Between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And this particular instance is all about worship, all about presenting thanks to God. And when you come in the house of God or wherever you go to present yourself to God, you have to be willing to let Him check you out. If there be any, David said, he learned it, if there's anything within me, Lord, show me, reveal to me my really true heart. Let me learn to separate. And sometimes people have problems with this. But Paul told us how to go around that so you don't have a problem. If you really read and study the Word of God, you won't have any problems whatsoever. Paul says, if it's light and if it's white and if it appears right, just abstain from all appearances of evil. Evil, darkness. We've been separated from darkness into the light. And sometimes Satan, many times Satan offers you something, tries to get you to go and dabble with darkness. And you say, well, it's not as dark as that sin. Well, Paul defined it real clear. Abstain from all appearances of evil. If on the sheet of paper you're looking at, or the event you're looking at, whether to dabble in it, whether to get involved, does it have a shade of gray? Is it all black? That's easy to distinguish. That's sin. But Satan knows we're not that stupid. But he thinks we're a little stupid, which sometimes we are. And he'll have it looking really bright and the light shining on it. Artificial light, of course. But then down in the corner, there's that dabble of gray. You say, well, others are doing worse. They are. But remember who the inspector is. When you come boldly to the throne of grace, it's not the priest or the church or the preacher's going to look you over because we can't see. but the God of heaven present yourselves. And the only way you can forget your, present yourself is to let him examine the product. And if there's any wicked way within me, David said, cleanse me from that way. And that means we don't dabble with the gray. We don't go the way the world does. The text tells us that we are here to make a difference in this cold world. Lastly, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. Oh, there's many more. We could go about six messages on this. Remember, there's 147 of them. We're only going to get about 10 of them this morning. But in closing, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which hath separated you from other people. There's that word, Hebrew word, divided, set apart, to make a difference, to be excluded. And remember the first verse we read? The first verses we read in Matthew chapter 25? That final day of separation. It's not going to spring in you without you already knowing it. And we go in Genesis and we see God's plan from the very beginning. Divider, grace, allowed the man in creation. Grace given to man, even though we were once drawn and we were in exile and we were Gentiles, there was a barrier that we couldn't get to God. But through the man Christ Jesus, the light of the world, we have access into him. And this access give us availability to come and present ourselves with praise, with honor and glory to him. And so we can be an example to the world, and we can be to them what Christ wants us to be, and we can make a difference to the lost and dying world. And in this verse, he tells us there's going to be a payday someday. The first verse we read in Matthew chapter 25, all the goats that would not come to him that loved darkness rather than light, cast into a devil's hell. But those that love the light, love to worship God, love to give him praise and honor and glory for anything and everything and never accuse him, just, here I am, Lord, you're God, and I'm not much, but I want to be more. What can I be for you? I can't be anything from you except I'm willing and you make me that. And now he says there's going to be a separation. He gave the children of Israel a special land. He gives you and I a special place in this world. Chaos were to come this morning, you were to get hear the news or it were to happen to you. You go home and no telling what's likely to happen in America. We all know that. But there would be quite a difference from the reaction of God's people to the reactions in the world. I didn't say we wouldn't maybe all lose your homes, automobiles, electricity, whatever. We'd all have the same in that regard, but the reaction would be tremendously different. Why? Because we've been separated, and we can trust him, knowing that we're in the light, and even though darkness may be out there, it's not a spiritual darkness, and we can love the Lord God with all our heart, we can present ourselves to him, and we know that we know, in the midst of trials, tribulation, heartaches, joy will come in the morning. Weeping may endure for now, and it will, and it does. But thank God for the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And the morning can be in the middle of the night. It can be any time because we're in a life. Thank God for the day of separation, from the day of division, from Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 4, all the way through. Divide, divide, divide. Separate. Exclude, separate into, separate from. Oh, he's a great God. He has given us his word. He's given us his love for us to make a difference in this world. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bound. Brother Randy, Miss Tiffany got a song for us. That was so Miss Tiffany come in. Brother Randy and Tiffany, either one, both. And while they're coming, let God search your heart this morning. Have you been divided, have been separated from the world of sin? When conviction came on your heart at some time in your life, and you said yes to God, no to sin? If that be, that's a glorious thing. But what about this morning? Do you come this morning and are you free to come boldly to the throne of grace and present yourself and be willing and let Him check me, Father? I know I'm full of flaws, but I don't want to be. I confess every sin, every stain, and help me not to dabble in it anymore. Would you just be honest with God this morning? We do need His blessings. We need His protection. And surely there's not a one of us here would say, but what would not say, Lord, I want to make a difference. You got children, grandchildren, cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever it is, out in sin. And there's no words you can say, but the life you live will make a difference. God will allow that to make a difference to them as they see you serving God. They'll want what you have. And if they don't see that, they'll say, ah, just the same old story. They got a good talk, but they're not walking the walk. I'll just go in darkness and stay there. I love my sins. And they say they're without sin, but it don't come out on them. It's a big thought, folks. God did all these wonderful things from Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, until the present day, so you and I could live in this world and worship Him and be separated into the kingdom of God, knowing we have a home and knowing that while we're here, we can make a difference. Altar is open. If you haven't received the Lord as your Savior, please come. If God's drawing you, you can come. Whatever your needs.